Hey guys, welcome to 514 Church, week four of That's Deep. I want to welcome everybody that's watching online and everybody here in New Albany. You guys excited? You guys okay? Yeah, we're good, man. Baker Mayfield is sleeping good tonight, or last night he did. That was, really? Too soon? OH? You know, here's the thing. The whole rest of the year is just wasted now. It's like, what do we do? No ideas. Okay. Today I'm gonna tie up this series for us, and I'm gonna take a different, little bit different approach, and just kind of share a bunch of different things that all lead to this culmination for what it means to have spiritual depth. There's a lot of different things out there in the church, and a lot of different ideas about what spiritual depth is, and what we've been doing in this series is looking at what Jesus defines as spiritual depth and the goal, and saying, okay, how do we adjust to that, and how do we look at what he says versus what the church often says is spiritual depth, and how do we kind of reconcile these two things and move forward the best way possible. And so I'm going to go through the past 3 weeks of this series, and if you missed these weeks, you definitely need to take some time and catch up on the podcast or watch online and catch up with us, because this series is truly a hallmark series for a change in direction and a shift in the direction and vision of our church. We're going to do another series I'm going to talk about at the end of the message today, starting in October, that is kind of part two of That's Deep. And so this is a big, big deal. And what I want, what my desire is that everybody in our church develops some new language, that there's some new ideas and some new verbiage around what it means to do what God has called us to do. Something that we can all rally around, and something that happens in our culture here at the church, where we actually see certain things differently and we say, oh, that's deep. Oh, when we identify what Jesus says is deep, and then we see it, we say, that's deep. And we stop moving away from asking the question, when are we going to go deeper? And by that meaning that we're going to learn more or experience certain things, but that it means we're going deeper by actually doing what Jesus said to do, which is connect with people, reach people, and help people. And so just to do a quick overview, we've been looking at Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus, 2,000 years ago, calls his first disciples into the ministry. He goes into their space. If you didn't look at this or hear this message, we talked about how the people who he reached, these Galilean fishermen, they were in political and religious oppression, and Jesus actually moved from one town into another, into their space, to give them an opportunity to have a better future and to do something that was bigger than themselves. And in that moment, he reached them by saying they were going to go reach people. And in this phrase right here, follow me and I will make you fishers of people, Jesus defines that the goal is helping and reaching people. It's all about people. The goal for everything we do, when we worship, when we learn, when we have experiences, our spiritual gifts, it all has to do with reaching people. It's not this thing right here where we go, okay, I love you, God, and I say things to you, and I do things that I think are for you, and then we exclude the people around us. Jesus actually says, if you say, and in John, the follower of Jesus says, if you say you love God, but you don't love people, you don't love God. And so this whole thing is supposed to materialize in the engagement and the connection that we have with people. And so this is the process that this phrase actually happens to be, is that people will decide to follow Jesus, and then they'll go through a growing period while they're following Jesus. You'll learn things, you'll hear things, you'll experience things. And all of that is not the goal. All of that is so that we can catch people. And today what we're going to talk about is this, okay, how do I take what I know and what I've experienced and actually do that? Because we've heard from people as we're going through the series, help me do this. How do I figure out how to reach people? How do I figure out how to connect with people? How do I figure out how to catch people? Because we, in fact, are supposed to do this, and it's supposed to repeat and happen over and over again with people who are in our lives, and then they're supposed to go and do it. And oftentimes in the church, and the tension that we've been wrestling with over the past couple of weeks is that this growth period becomes the goal. Learning things in the Bible has so often become the goal for spiritual faith and for spiritual maturity. And that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It is a great thing to learn. It is so important to learn, and it is so important to have experiences and connect with God and to use your gifts to help people. But there is a very true problem, I believe, in the local church where knowing something becomes the actual goal. But it's so important that we agree on this, that growth, learning the scriptures, experiencing God in a worship service, all that is so great. In fact, like, you need that. That is important. It's just, it cannot become the goal. God is pouring into you so that you will pour out into other people. God is teaching you something so that you will go and teach and lead and help people. That's the point. And so it's critical. There are people that are actually wrestling with this in our church going, wait a minute, it's got to be about information. It's got to be about information. And I'm going to talk about that. And one of the reasons that people are wrestling is like, you know, I need to know certain things. I need to be able to say certain things. But we have to be on the same page that the goal of everything we're doing is to reach people. And this growth stuff is necessary to do that. Just like a doctor who goes to school for 12 years. And can you imagine if they did that and then they didn't perform surgery? If they just went to school. They did not go to school so they could just get an A on a test. They went to school so they could do surgery, so they could help people, so they could do what they were studying for. And that's why they go through practicing it in the process of studying. In your faith journey, it needs to be like that. Okay, I'm starting to learn, but I'm starting to love and lead and help people. And if we don't get that, and we think that we have to just dive in and learn and learn and learn and learn, and we actually never look up and care about people, we will miss the call of what it means to be a follower of Christ. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake. And so these are the two things we talked about week 2 and 3. The goal of knowledge is not to know something, but to build someone. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Our goal when we learn something is so that we help people. And it's not about experiencing something, week 3. It's about loving someone. When you come into a worship service, that's great. It's great that God moves in you. It's great that you connect with God. And don't misunderstand, your intimacy with God, your relationship with God, the way you pray with God, the way you worship God, all of that is so great. But what God is doing in you is he is building pieces in your life, and he's reaching into your world to instill in you a strength that exists to reach other people. And so you decide, you grow, and then we catch. And today I want to talk about how to do this. And I spend a lot of time shaping these messages and trying to dial it in to this really tight one thing that crescendos at the right time with the right story. I'm not going to do that today. Like, I'm kind of just going off the cuff a little bit because I have so much to share with everyone that I didn't know. I just started putting these slides together, and I was like, I want to talk about this, and 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 I want to talk about this. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk about all the different things I want to talk about, so I'm just going to get a little bit more, you know, off the cuff. You guys okay with that? I'm going to sit down. Just because. You guys okay? All right, so here's the deal. A lot of the time, we think when we talk about reaching people, when we talk about reaching people for God, we think this, we think evangelism. Raise your hand if you've heard the word or know what evangelism is. Okay, raise your hand if you have a negative connotation or idea with evangelism. Yeah, a lot of us do because it's this idea of preaching at somebody, of preaching. And so a lot of us think, okay, Joel, I know, man, like, look, I get it. Decide to follow Jesus, grow and follow Jesus. But when you talk about reaching people, I'm not an evangelist. And I'm not going to preach at people because preaching is inappropriate. It actually doesn't work in the context of relationships. And I'm not going to do what you do, Joel, so I guess I'm disqualified. I guess I'm not supposed to reach people. Here's the thing. Evangelism is something that can happen and actually happens in relationship, and it doesn't have to only exist in the context of preaching and badgering people. It's just the idea, the word evangelism is the good news. It's the idea that you exist to share good news with people, and you can do that, and you can be that. You don't have to be an evangelist, or you don't have to say all the right things. You just have to engage people, and evangelism is the process by which you become a conduit for someone to learn and experience the good news. And one of the things I'm going to relieve you of today is that some of you feel like, I'm not equipped to lead people. I don't know, like, what to say. I don't know how to reach people. In fact, some of you might be sitting there going, Joel, reaching people means knowing what to say, and I'm not a preacher. Like, I don't know how to preach, so how am I going to tell them that? I am so excited to tell you today that you do not have to be able to very swiftly and perfectly articulate the gospel in order to reach people. You don't have to do that. In fact, I was having a conversation with some neighbors recently. It was actually kind of interesting. And we were sitting around talking, and it was so funny that someone brought up the afterlife. And someone said, Joel, what do you think of what happens in the afterlife? And I was like, oh, set him up, knock it out of the park. No, like, I said, I stopped and I went, well, what do you think? And then everyone in this driveway went around for like 10 minutes and everybody talked about what they thought happened in the afterlife. And it was all this different stuff. And ideas of heaven and all these different things. It was a great conversation. And I didn't say anything. And then they came back to me and they're like, so what do you think? I said, you know what I do, right? And they're like, yeah, you got plenty to say. And I spoke for 1 minute. And I tell you this to relieve you of the tension of having to have all the right things to say when you're not a preacher. I said to them, I said, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a Christ follower. And the story of him being born, dying on a cross, and raising from the dead has compelled me. And so I investigated that, and it brought me to this place where I believe that he is God. And that's what I think everyone should do. Just look at the person of Jesus. And they were like, oh, I did not carefully articulate the gospel. I didn't say, you know, because sometimes when people want to know the gospel or want to talk about the gospel, it's like, I can't tell the gospel in 45 minutes. I can't tell the gospel in 45 hours. Like, it takes forever. It's little. I was trained to, like, be able to tell someone the elevator gospel message. You ever hear this? Or the cars on fire gospel message. Hey, you know what? If you're a sinner, by the way, and if you don't give your life to Jesus right now and confess your sins, then you're going to end up in eternal separation from God. You have to place your faith in Jesus right now. Will you do it right now before you go, oh, I'm on fire. Yeah, you don't want to, like, end up in fire forever. You need to say this prayer right now. We were, like, trained to do that. And I don't believe that you have to be able to articulate the gospel in a perfect manner in order to engage people. In fact, I believe that it's actually easier than that. And I believe that everybody in here can engage people and reach people and catch people and love people. And so you're going to understand certain parts and you're going to learn and grow, but you don't have to understand it perfectly in order to do this catching thing that Jesus has called all of us to do. If you think about the life of Jesus, at the end, Jesus says, go and preach the gospel. Well, one of the things I wrestle with and I want you to think about is, you know, a lot of people have heard the gospel. And I'm not saying it's like we shouldn't share the gospel or we shouldn't, but we can just be a conduit for someone to start to learn the gospel and not be the person who actually says it and articulates it perfectly. But what Jesus did say as well before he said, go preach the gospel, when he was with his disciples at the very end, he said very clearly, go and love people. Love people. Because you may not know how to articulate it perfectly, and you may not like have all the things to say or be able to lead people in certain experiences or be able to preach or be able to sing or be able to, you know, use spiritual. You may not be able to do all that, but you can certainly love people. Everyone can do that. And that is what I'm calling you to do. Jesus called us to do something that all of us can do, and we all do it in different ways. So you should start to feel this, okay, all right, I can engage people. I can love people. I can do that. Some of you are not wrestling with what to say and how to say it. Some of you are wrestling with who you are. You know, you grew up in the church, and then you went away. You were a backslider. I know some of you backsliders out there. You came back to the church. And then it's like, here you are, you're back, and you think, you know, who am I? I've done this thing. I've messed up. I have this problem that keeps on reoccurring. I have this past that has disqualified me from being a conduit for the message of God and love. And I just want to, like, relieve you that, like, every single person in this room is called to be a friend of sinners. Now, Jesus is called the friend of sinners. And we're not supposed to think, okay, I'm a spiritual person and they're sinners and I need to be friends with them. We are supposed to think this way. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. And I have messed up and God is working in me, but I am called to bring the message and the truth and the love of God to people, even though I have not done everything perfectly in my life. And you are just like everybody else. If I was disqualified because of things I've done in my past, then I wouldn't, you know, be allowed to do this type of job, and I wouldn't always know what to say, and I could be kind of someone who loses confidence because I haven't been perfect. But this message the scriptures talk about and this love is something that is bigger than just one person. And so you're called, you're able, you are allowed as a broken person to go into other people's lives and be a conduit for love. And if I could just like sum this whole thing up, and I'm going to share something very, very practical in a second, but it's not about knowing what to say all the time, and it's certainly not about being perfect all the time. Reaching people, catching people, helping people starts with your heart. It starts where you are burdened on the inside for people. You see, if you are living your life thinking about what you want, what's important for you, what feels good for you, then you will never be on mission. You may not know what to say, and you may not know all the different things to do, but you can reach people when you have a genuine heart for people. My question, my burden for this whole series, you guys, is, do we care about people? Like, who in this room is losing sleep over people who you believe need to be in the church and in a relationship with God? And it's not even about just getting them to come to this. It's about just getting them to know who you know so they can experience the hope that you experience. How many of us are losing sleep over someone else? Over someone who you know God wants to connect with. You say, oh, Joel, I want to learn more things, and oh, I want to experience more things. And God says, that's not deep. That's fine. You're supposed to be so moved by the people who need you that you move towards the people who need you. It's been said, you know, this way, turn to the right or the left in your neighborhood and you'll find someone who needs Jesus. We spend so much time wondering what it means to follow God more. And what God wants us to do is say, look at the people around you. The people around you need Jesus. The people in your neighborhood, the people not just your neighbor, the person you pass in the grocery store, the people who live by you need a relationship with God. Are you like the kind of person who's like, man, I want and I am burdened, and when I come to church, I'm not thinking about all of us. I'm thinking about them. I have the heart of God, and I want to reach them, and I want to catch them, and I want them to know God, and I want to learn some things and do some things and worship God so that I can go and be in their world. That is what is deep. That is depth. You know that there's a new study, and that less than a third of the people in this country know their neighbor's name. So we're supposed to, like, love people who don't know God, and we don't know the people who don't know God. And we want to be on mission and do what's spiritually deep and follow God, but we are not willing to actually engage the people who need to know him, whom we are supposed to exist for. And we get caught up, I need to know this, I need to say this, I need to do all this stuff, as opposed to just starting to move towards someone who needs the relationship with God that you have. This is another way to think about it. Love must be our motive. Then everything we do, however little insignificant, bears a rich harvest. What's your motivation for engaging people? Why are you alive? Why has God blessed you? He has blessed you so that you can engage the people who are around you. You see, knowing the gospel and living it out is more important than being able to articulate it. Going and engaging people is more important than your ability to tell them an answer. Loving people in a real way is more important than your ability to have everything figured out or be perfect. God has called us to do this. In this passage, follow me and I will make you into fishers of men. I want to share just something that I learned from my young life leader, Steve Gardner, who was really a missionary on a high school campus, and he came into my world and he taught me this when I was in college, because he's like, this is what Jesus did and this is what we're supposed to do. And the first thing is, just as a reminder, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So if you're in here today and you say, I'm going to follow Jesus, then that means this: you are called to fish. Now that might make you uncomfortable. You know, you might go, man, I don't want to be known for having a separate agenda. I don't want to be known for, you know, doing something that doesn't come off authentic or genuine. Because I'm just doing this Jesus thing. I just believe in Jesus and I want to share Jesus with people. You've got to wrestle through that. Because if you don't believe that the relationship you have with God is designed for every person, and that every person needs that, and that there is actually an emptiness and a void inside every person who is on earth who doesn't have a relationship with God, and you could be the person who closes that void because you introduce someone to Jesus, you're missing this call. Because Jesus is like, you have a void, I want you to follow me so that you can lead other people to me. And so I'm gonna share just some basic things that I have started to do and that I have done and that I believe come from this passage of Jesus going into their world, into their politically and religiously charged environment, reaching them where they are, leading them, and then them finally ending up doing what he called them to do, which is to become fishers of men. The first thing, and this is three different things that just kind of all go together. The first thing to really engage people, to really go fish, to really catch people, and all from this place of I care about people so much that that's my goal in life, is to reach them and to help them. The first thing is this: go to their territory. Go to their territory. Isn't that so simple? You don't have to know what to say. You don't have to have all the answers. But every single person in here can take a step into someone's territory. Some of us in here need to go and walk across the street and go into someone's space. Some of us need to send the email. Some of us need to connect. It's so funny, like, when we're little kids, and I watch my kids do this, like, all the kids are running around all over the neighborhood, and when a new kid comes around, they're just like, hey, you know, I'm Kellen, do you want to go play? But as adults, we just turn into fumbling, bumbling idiots. We don't know how to just engage people and start a conversation and get to know people and learn people's names. Could it be that if you started to believe that God has called you to walk across the street, to walk across the room, that maybe someone's life could change just by starting a relationship? And here's the tenuous part that you have to wrestle through, because this has to be genuine for you, and this is something that I've learned. I want this church to grow. I want more people to come to this church. And of course, I wrestle through the pride of growth and numbers and all that stuff. But my goal is not simply that church numbers go up. My goal is that I lead you guys to go engage people in the most important relationship in the world. And on top of that, that you simply, at a heart level, start to care about people so much that you go into their world. And here's this tension, here's this way that I put it, that you have to wrestle with and you have to boil down into a genuine desire is this. You go into their territory because you love them, not because you want them to change. You do not get to know people with this idea, when I get to know them, they will change. And anybody that's married, no, that's a bad idea. You don't do that in relationships. You go because you love. Jesus did not decide to give his life for us because he knew we would all turn around and love him back. He went because he said, I love them. My heart is for them. He was burdened. There was a problem, this sin problem, and he's like, I just want to be around them. I just care. I just want to show them that I love them. If you go into people's territory just to change them or just to get them to come to church and not to genuinely communicate that they matter to you through practical ways, through little ways, a motivation of love, every single moment, they will sniff it out. They will think you are up to something. And I have never wanted to live my life where people just think that I'm just trying to just grab people and catch people and fish and get them in the net and get them. No, I want people to know that they are loved. And I believe that when people feel that, that it changes them. Sometimes they come around, sometimes they don't. But ultimately, that's what I'm called to do regardless of the results. But here's what happened when Jesus did it, and he did it with genuine love regardless of the results. You go to their territory, and this is what he did, and then you take them to a neutral territory. Like, how many of us have built friendships with people who are outside of our little circle, our people group, your normal friends? You know, when you get to the end of the week and you're tired and you want to go, you know, go watch a game or hang out, like, how many of us lean every time towards the comfortable relationships that we already have? Because I'm always wrestling with relationships that are a get and relationships that are a give. And it is so easy, if I'm not burdened to care for people, for me to lean towards, I'm gonna spend time with people who are easy for me to spend time with. And that doesn't mean that the people that I'm reaching out to, it just means it's work to develop a relationship. It's hard to get to know somebody. It's hard to get past that just acquaintance level into that we really know each other, we care about each other, we have real conversations. And so I believe that happens in this process of doing things together. I believe that you go into people's territory because you love them, regardless if they change, and then eventually you go and do something together. Here's a question for you. How many of us have taken real time to go to lunch, to go on a trip, to go spend real time with people who are not in our closest group of friends simply just because we want to communicate that we love them and care about them. When's the last time you did that? Because that's the way that Christ lived, and that's what he's called us to do, is to open ourselves up and engage into a world of people who aren't close to us because we love people and we want to get to know people and we're relational beings and we are people. And people look at the way we are and they go, man, that person loves people so much. I'd like to get to know them. That's the way Christians are supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to take them to a neutral territory because of genuine friendship. Genuine friendship. I learned from a great pastor and leader, friendship is not where you're the pastor or the leader and they're the follower. Or they're like someone of influence and they always pour into you. Friendship is when there's a mutual connection, a mutual exchange of ideas, thoughts. That's friendship. And you should be, and I should be, as followers of Christ, moving into relationships with people where we go, I am connecting with this person at a level of I am here to gain from them and learn from them and experience them as much as they are to experience me. And I think Christians stink at that. I think we go in so often with some agenda to like change people and make people and tell people and show people and write people and da-da-da. God doesn't call us to go into change and show. He says, go and care about them. Get to know their name. Figure out what matters to them. Learn from them. You want to really impact people? Go and open yourself up to be like a student of someone else's life. You will start to see them connect to you and you connect to them. And I put this in here in the middle because we forget this all the time. When you start to engage in a friendship with somebody, they will start to ask you questions about your faith. They will start to, and this right here is three of the most freeing words you could ever hear, and I'm kind of bringing this back again from the beginning of this message to just relieve you. It is okay when someone asks you a question about faith to say, I don't know. You know that? If you have a friendship with somebody and they ask you something about what you believe and you don't quite understand, and the scriptures teach us we're supposed to have an answer, we're supposed to have this idea, and I'm not saying you're supposed to be this person who can't articulate what your basic faith is, but you do not have to be able to take someone through every single detail of their faith. You can actually step back and say, I don't know, and maybe we can learn together. But when you engage somebody, if God is relevant to you, he will eventually be relevant to some of your friends. He will. If God matters to you and people matter to you, what matters to you will matter to the people who matter to you. It's just what happens. How many of us are willing to take that step? How many people are willing to walk across the street? How many people are willing to build a new relationship? How many people are willing to go, just because I don't know and I don't have all the answers and maybe I haven't done all the perfect stuff in my past, I am still going to go engage people because God has called me to engage people and show people that they are valuable. That's deep. That is spiritual depth. The scriptures say faith without works is dead. If you don't move into people's lives, show them that they are loved, you are missing the target, the sweet spot of following Jesus. You are missing the experience of what it looks like to live out your faith and engage this world who needs God. You are missing it. We are missing it. You know how I know we're missing it? Because this church isn't full of a bunch of people who are here because we all have a burden for them. We are not doing this. This church, for us to grow, we want to build a building, we want to have satellite campuses. For us to do what God wants us to do, we have to not worry about where we're going to meet, but who we're going to meet. No amen for that? I mean, are you serious? Wake up, you stinking, I'm going to throw this clicker right in someone's face. I just said we have to not worry about where we're going to meet, but who we're going to meet. That is big, man. Who are you going to go meet?
Who are you going to dive into their life and their space and their world, not to change them, but to love them? Go to their territory, take them to a neutral territory, and this is what happens. They'll end up on your territory. When you love people, man, it is irresistible. People want to be around someone who cares about them. They do. And that doesn't necessarily mean they'll show up at church. That means they might ask you a question. That means they might engage you. That means they might give their life to Christ. They might end up at a different church. It doesn't matter. They will end up following. They will end up on your territory, following you and doing what you do. Go to their territory. Take them to a neutral territory. They'll end up on your territory. And here's the key, and this is like, if you miss everything, it's what I've already said. I'm just going to say it again. Keep going to their territory. Never stop going to their territory. Never stop. At the end of Jesus' life on earth, after he had died on a cross and rose from the dead, he went back to his disciples to the same place that he went to them 3 years before, to a beach when they were fishing. After Jesus died on a cross, all the disciples thought that Jesus was a phony. So they ran, they scattered, they hid. They actually then went back to fishing. They got back involved in fishing. They just left the thing. They're just like, well, this Jesus guy must not have been real. This wasn't the real deal. He said he was God, and he's not. So they go back to the Sea of Galilee. Peter, one of his closest followers, who argued with Jesus all throughout the 3 years that they spent time together, and who was on the first beach when Jesus called them and said, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Peter followed him. He learned from him. He had all these great experiences. He had all this knowledge. And then when Jesus died, they ran away. When he rose from the dead, he comes back, and Peter is back on a boat fishing the same way he was when he first met him 3 years before. Jesus goes back to him, and he says, hey, throw your net somewhere else, and they catch all these fish. And Peter and John and other disciples realize in that moment after the resurrection that that is Jesus. They jump out of the boat. They swim over to the beach. By the time they get there, Jesus is making them breakfast, and he says this phrase. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast, which I think is one of the most, like, beautiful phrases, and it sums up the entire thing of what spiritual depth is, to be with people. Jesus spent time with them. He was with them at the Last Supper, and then he comes back and he has another meal with them. This was the embodiment of friendship, relationship, communion, fellowship, brotherhood. In this moment, they're back on the beach. And when Jesus was at the Last Supper with Peter was arguing with Jesus and telling him that he would not let Jesus die and that it was not going to happen, that he would go and die as well. And Jesus looked at him and said, you're going to deny me three times. And then when Jesus got arrested, he was denied. He denied him three times. Peter just gave up on Jesus. So Jesus comes back all the way to the beginning. He keeps going back. He keeps pursuing Peter, even after 3 years, even after he's taught him everything, even after he's shown him everything. All these miracles are done. He goes back to him, and he looks at Peter on the beach. He says, do you love me more than the rest of these disciples? And Peter's like, yes, I love you. And Jesus says to him, okay, so you love me. I'm back in your territory. I'm here. We've gone through this before. Now, go and love people, he says. Go and feed my sheep. He says, go and feed my sheep. I mean, the beauty of all stories, all the best stories, all the best movies, all the best books in all the world are they start where they end. You see a movie, it starts off with someone on a lake rowing, and then this whole story happens, and then it comes full circle, and there they are again. But something's changed on the inside. The best movies start where they end and end where they begin. Here it is. Jesus starts, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They follow, follow, follow. They leave, and Jesus persistently goes back and says, hey, do you love me? Yes, then go and love people. Go and love people. He asks them again because he denied them three times. He asks them three times, do you really love me? Yes, I love you. Then go and feed my sheep. Go and help people. Do you really love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Then please go and feed and love and help people. I told you I was going to make you a fisher of men. Now I'm back with you. I've come back into your territory. I'm not giving up on you. I want you to go and reach people. And then Jesus says this to him, and this is amazing, and there's a lot to this, but I just want to put it in front of you. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted to go." Now, this is Jesus saying to Peter, you know, if you're going to be a follower of me, you cannot do this life the way that you've been doing it. This is Jesus saying to all of us, we're selfish. We do what we want to do. We care about us. We don't have a burden for other people. But when you truly follow God, you're going to end up where he ended up. And where Jesus ended up was on a cross. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to die for your faith. But in the context, Jesus gave his life because he loved people so much. He gave his life for it. And so he says to Peter, if you really love me, then you're going to give your life too. Whatever that looks like, you're going to live for people. And Jesus lived so much for people that he died for them. He died. And so when he says this, you've been living for yourself. It's time to live for other people. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. A very difficult place. A place called the cross, a place that for Jesus represented total love and total surrender and total commitment to people. And that's what Jesus is saying to Peter. If you're gonna follow me, you're gonna have to go. You're gonna have to go across the street. You're gonna have to lay down your life. You're gonna have to spend your time, your energy, your will for other people. You're gonna have to memorize people's names. You're gonna have to tell them how much God loves them, and it's gonna be really, really hard. And in this context, it meant that Peter would give his entire life and that he would end up being crucified for sharing the message of Jesus. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. The author, John, lived longer than Peter and knew that Peter went and died on a cross. And in fact, all these guys ended up dying because they believed in Jesus so much. Because Jesus did this. He went into their territory. He took them to a neutral territory. And they ended up on his. Because of how much he loved them. And he sums it all up. The same thing he started with. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. And I will take you towards this goal of depth. It's harder than you thought. Man, it's easy to know something. It's easy to experience something. What's really hard but really matters and is so much more valuable than you can imagine is loving people. That's where you're going to go. When you follow me. And so my question for you guys is, who do you pursue? Who is on your heart today? Because I believe that the deepest people pursue people, that they go into their territory to show them how much God loves them and hope that God does something through them that's bigger than they could imagine. And so we're gonna sing this song together just to close out this series. Called So Will I. And this song is a picture of God's miraculous creation and his love and his grace and his gift to every one of us. And the idea here is that if God lived that way and Jesus is God, then man, we're supposed to live that way too. We're supposed to do what he did. We're supposed to experience life the way that he did. We're supposed to go after people and care for people and love people and bring grace to people the way that God painted the stars and gave us breath. We're supposed to exist for others. So the band's going to come now after I pray, and we're going to sing this song. God, I thank you so much for painting a picture of spiritual depth that is so clear but so complicated to do. It's so difficult to do. It's difficult to love people. It's difficult to make people matter more than we matter to ourselves. It's difficult to think about others and put others on the forefront of our mind. That's difficult. And you personified that when you came here and you died on a cross and you rose from the dead. You care about us. Help us to care about others. God, if you loved us the way that you showed us on the cross, then so will we. We will love you. We will love people. We will go, and we will be hands, feet, the body of Christ. Father, thank you so much for this moment. I pray that you would put a person on every person's heart who's sitting in this room.